being in the auditorium. We've got a lot of young kids, and there's a constant, you know, I don't know what the word is, noise, which is beautiful. You know, it's beautiful to hear that because it means we have young children. It means these families have been blessed, and it means the parents, you know, brought their kids to church on Sunday morning. And so we are so thankful for that. But just as a convenience to any parents who would like to, you know, take advantage, you can do that this morning. You have that opportunity. You know, I just would commend the parents because I know it's not easy when you have young children. And I went through that many years ago, and just a great, you know, commendation to a mom and dad who would get their kids ready and come to church on Sunday morning, and it's not an easy thing to do. We know that, and we appreciate you. And really think, you know, you are doing the right thing. And so you should always keep that in mind. We are, again, appreciative for everyone who's here today, and hope everybody's doing well. Our next meeting will be Wednesday. We'll meet Wednesday for Bible class, Wednesday morning at 11, or you can come Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And, of course, there's classes for all ages at 7. But if 11 works for you, come out at 11 a.m. We have a good study at that time. And there's a lesson for that on our website. Also, there's a few copies on the table if you'd like to pick one up this morning before you leave. We're going to be talking this Wednesday morning. Our theme is better churches. What Paul said to Timothy and Titus about how to make better churches. And we're going to talk this week about how, you know, if we're going to be a good church, we need to follow the guidance that God has given to us. And we're going to look at what those letters say about the role of women, which is really a kind of a hot topic in our world today, the role of women in the church. And so, you know, we need to go to God's Word and see what it says, and we'll discuss that together on Wednesday. So I hope you'll join us for one of those studies if you are able. I want to talk for a few minutes this morning, the time we have left, about a change we made at the beginning of the year to have a scripture reading every Sunday morning. And then, as you also noticed, what we do is we stand as we read the scripture. I want to talk about, you know, why we do that. It's not just a gimmick. It's not just theatrics to stir us up. It's certainly not to stretch our legs, you know, though we do need to do that sometimes. But why do we stand? There's actually a biblical example of that. And I want to ask you to turn your Bibles, please, to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. And look at a story in the Bible that kind of illustrates that this is a really good thing to do. So Nehemiah chapter 8. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "All the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel." So, if you know anything about the book of Nehemiah, you know that he came back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the walls of the city of Jerusalem after they had been torn down and left, you know, in their torn down state for so many years. But now in chapters 5 and 6, the walls have been rebuilt. And so the people got together and they said, "Let's invite Ezra to come for a gospel meeting." That's basically what happened in this passage, okay? And so they invite Ezra, the walls rebuilt, and Ezra comes and they give him the law. And in verse 2, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding, on the first day of the seventh month. And then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning till midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Now you notice twice there in verse 2 and also in verse 3, it talked about how he was reading in front of the ears of the men and women who were able to understand the word. And so what that says to me is before they did all this, they said, "We have a class prepared for children up to age 5, if any parents would like to take advantage of it." And I don't know if they said that, but it kind of suggests that, you know, this gathering was, it was people who were able to understand. I don't know what they did with the children, and I'm not making a serious point about that at all, but it does make that point, that this was the people who were able to understand, who were able to comprehend what was being said. Also in verse 3, two other points. It says, he read from it from morning till midday. And then at the very end of the verse, it says, all the people were attentive to the book of the law. They were interested. They were listening carefully from morning, which probably means sunrise, until noon. You know, they sat there and they listened to Ezra, and they were attentive, carefully listening to the words that he spoke. And these are all good examples of, you know, the kind of interest that we should have in listening to God's word. Verse 4 says, Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And it talks about these other men who were beside him. But skip down to verse 5. It says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And look at this. It says, when he opened it, all the people stood up. And so that's just an interesting observation, that when he opened the book, when he opened the law, and this was in the 400s B.C. The law was actually given about 1400 B.C. Now, I just want to make that point that this was a book that was over 1,000 years old. And yet they had this respect for it. They believed it was more than just an ordinary book. Why did they all stand up when he opened the book? I think it was out of reverence and respect for the fact that the Word of God was being read. It's kind of like when we sing the national anthem, everybody stands up. Or at a wedding, when the bride enters the auditorium, everybody stands up and pays their respect to the bride. But this is the Word of God. And it shows that they believed it was the Word of God, in spite of the fact that it was over 1,000 years old. I mean, if you stop and think about that. I mean, they could have said, well, that's such an ancient book. How should we have any confidence in that? And why should we believe it? They believed that it was. And that's the real point here. They believed that it was not just, you know, words, not just Ezra's idea, but this is really, in essence, God speaking to us. And that's why we have kind of adopted this tradition, at least for a little while, to kind of shock us back into reality that this is the Word of God that we're listening to. This is God speaking to us. We are here to worship God. And the words that are being spoken are from God to us, the Almighty God. Another verse in the book of Isaiah chapter 66. Look at what Isaiah said. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne. This is describing God. You know, earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? For all of these things my hand has made. The idea is that, you know, you can't build a temple that will meet my needs. Or there's nothing you as human beings can do that will satisfy some need that I have, some necessity of my existence. God is so much greater, you know, than every human being. But on this one, it says, I will look. God will look on this person, him who is poor and of a contrite spirit. That just means we're humble. We recognize that we are weak and that we're sinful creatures. And look at that last part. He who trembles at my word. I think that's what you saw in Nehemiah. They trembled at the word of God. They recognized it was God speaking to them, words that they needed to hear in order to be right with God. And we should likewise tremble at the word of God. That doesn't mean we're like cowards and scared and running off to hide. It just means we respect the authority of God's word. And we do believe that it is from God and that he is speaking to us. And we must, as human beings, listen to what he has to say. That's kind of why we stand when we have the scripture reading. It's to remind us, you know, how solemn this is, how important this is. And sometimes doing something a little different just causes our mind to think about it in a different way. And if that's the case, that's good. And if we ever get to the point where it no longer has any meaning, maybe we'll do something a little bit differently. But we need to kind of set that tone for our worship, that we are here to listen to what God says, and we're here to worship the great Almighty God who will someday be our judge. I had a lunch with a gentleman this week who used to live in a large city and go to a big church, and recently moved out west, out in the country. And he and his wife found a really small church that they really love. And he was telling me about the new church that he had found, and it was different from his past experience. And he said, you know, he formed this theory he wanted to share with me. And what he said was, he said, when you have preachers who really preach the Bible, and they spend a lot of time in the text, and they spend a lot of time reading God's Word and explaining really what the Scriptures say, he said, those churches tend to be kind of smaller churches. And if you have a church where, you know, the preacher, you know, really tells a lot of human interest stories and illustrations and a lot of human reasoning and things like that, and not so much time in the Word itself, he said those churches tend to be larger churches. You know, that people are drawn to that kind of church. And it might kind of reflect that we really don't have an appetite and desire to hear the Word of God that we should. Now, I want to say that I think that his observation probably has some truth to it. I think, however, it is a generality. You know, and I want to make that point very clear. We're not saying that large churches, you know, are just large because they water down the teaching of God's Word. And I think we should be very careful about that. You know, there are some large churches that really do believe in the Word of God, and they really do teach it. And even if we don't agree with them about every point of doctrine, they teach fantastic things about family and about apologetics. And so we're not saying everyone is like that. But I think there is a little bit of a degree of truth to that people are drawn to the more entertaining types of experiences. And the really sad part is we're not really excited about just studying God's Word and spending time in God's Word. Now I want to look at whether or not you believe that, and believe my friend, there's two New Testament scriptures that I think make that point. First of all, in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Look at what he said there. He's talking to Timothy, the young preacher, and he says, you're to preach the Word. You know, there's our lesson. You know, teach God's Word. Preach God's Word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. Teach the Bible, he says. And then he gives this warning. He says, the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside into fables. And that's exactly what Paul told Timothy. He said, you need to preach the Word, and if you do preach the Word, people are going to get tired of that. And in particular here, he's talking about how people grow tired of being told to do something they don't really want to do, what the Bible says they must do. And he says what they will do is they will find teachers who will say what they want. They'll find a preacher who will preach the message that they want to hear, who perhaps will not challenge them on their lifestyle or their areas of morality or their duties that they have to God. That's exactly what Paul said to Timothy is going to happen. The time will come, he says, when people will not endure sound doctrine. They're not just going to hear what the Bible says, especially the hard things. And he says they will find a church where they will be comfortable, or they'll get a new preacher. They will heap up for themselves teachers because they have itching ears, and they'll be more happy when they turn their ears away from the truth and hear things that aren't as challenging. People grow tired of God's Word. That's just a human tendency, he says. And he says to Timothy, you need to keep preaching God's Word. Another scripture is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, Paul, or whoever the Hebrew writer is, I should say, has just introduced a topic that was really rather deep. It's on the deeper end of the spectrum of challenging Bible topics. And he said, I have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you have become dull of hearing. In other words, he wanted to go into this deeper topic. He calls it the meat as opposed to the milk of the Word of God. But he says, I can't do it. You've become dull of hearing. By this time, you ought to be teachers, but you need somebody to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You ought to be moving on to the deeper things. But he says, you need to learn the basics all over again. And he says it's because you've become dull of hearing. And I think the best way to express what he's saying there is you just become bored with the gospel. You just become lazy. You don't really care to study anymore. You're not interested. You've just become dull of hearing. And I think that's something we can struggle with as well, is that we don't have the interest in studying God's Word. And maybe because we don't really believe it is the Word of God. We don't really find the time, you know, to study like we ought to study or take advantage of the opportunities we have to do Bible studies. The scripture that Riley read for us a little while ago, you know, shows that David had a much different attitude. And it's kind of like Sandy was saying a moment ago when he talked about how, you know, people under the law Moses gave. But we have something so much better than the law of Moses. Well, David said this, but he was under the law. And if David said this about his relationship with the law, you know, what should our attitude be about the gospel? We have the completed story, the life of Jesus. And we know about how God's plan was to save us all completely from our sins. But David said concerning the law, it's more to be desired than gold. How many of you really feel that way this morning? That you would rather have a knowledge of God's word than gold and fine gold, and it's sweeter than the honeycomb. In another place he said, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Is that how you feel about it, Dwayne? Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I think we all know in our heart that that's true. But when you put it in those terms, thousands of coins of gold and silver, I would rather have a knowledge, David said, of the Bible. It's better to me. It's more to be desired than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Say you got a call this morning, getting ready to go to church, and that you're a boss, and they want to offer you double time. Come in on a Sunday morning. And so what are you going to choose? I could go to church and maybe learn some things about the Bible, or I can go to work and make, you know, a really nice paycheck, which I could use. Now, that's not a perfect illustration. I admit that. And I'm not trying to say you're guilty if you made one choice. The fact is, you know, times to make money come along when they come along, and sometimes we have to grab them. And studying God's word and, you know, getting this riches is something we can do every day of our life. So I'm not making that point. I'm just saying, do we ever think, I want what God has to offer, and I'm going to put that first, and I'm going to pursue that, even if it means missing out on something that this world has to offer? Is that ever the choice that we make? Or do we always seem to just put the world first in the decisions that we make? And it might just kind of reflect on our heart. Do we really have this attitude that David had and believe in God's word like he believed in it? That I want to have a knowledge of God more than gold. And one of the reasons for that is because gold really, when it comes down to it, is not that great, not that valuable to us. It's just for a little while here on earth. Sometimes it just presents temptation or more trouble than it's worth. Jesus said, you know, the moths and the rust corrupt it, and thieves are always trying to steal it. And so we need to keep that in its proper perspective. But the fact is, the Bible, the truth of God's word, endures forever. And there should be nothing more valuable to us than that. David said in Psalms 119:97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. That's the kind of attitude we should have towards the Bible. You know, we should want to study it and learn it because it contains so many precious things that we have to have a great relationship with God, to be saved when this life is over. And great wisdom, how to live our life in this world. We need it because we don't know the best ways to live ourselves. A couple things real quick. You might have noticed a table in the lobby when you came in this morning. And what that is just a kind of a free book exchange. With the internet, you know, a lot of what we read, a lot of the old study aids are all online on our computers, and we don't use books the way we used to, but some people do. And so we just ask people, instead of throwing books away, you know, bring them down here. There's some outstanding books. I mean, I'm telling you, some great books on the table right now. For studying the Bible, commentaries, books about family. What that is we just want people to bring books that they're not using. They've been sitting on the shelf for 10 years. Bring it down here and let someone else pick it up. We need to be reading books that have to do with the Bible. The Bible, of course, is the truth, and that's the source of all of our knowledge of right and wrong, but there are great books, and we need to fill our minds with good things. The Bible talks about how we need to be mindful of things of the Spirit, and that's how we'll be led by the Spirit. And so if you're here, even if you're visiting, go by there, pick up a book today, take it with you. If anybody has an opportunity, bring back some other books, and we'll put out the ones. We're not saying everything in every one of those books is absolutely good. We can't say that, and it certainly is not. But That is, we just need to fill our minds with good things. And let's make good use of these books. And there's some great commentaries there. If you want to do some deep study, drop by and pick out one of those books for yourself and then bring back some when you have the opportunity. The other thing is we're going to start something in 2 weeks. We're going to have a four-week series on David. Jim Hartman's prepared these lessons about this fascinating life. David, the man who wrote these scriptures. We'll try to understand what made him tick that caused him to write the things that he did. 4 weeks, and this will be after our morning worship, and we'll have studies in various places around the city. One right here at noon on Sundays, but in the afternoon, in the evening. And so just kind of be aware of that. And this series can really be